it is a blessing and a privilege to be able to come and speak to you this evening. I'd like to begin by turning again in the scriptures to the book of Acts and the end of chapter 18. We'll read a few verses in God's word. Acts chapter 18 at verse 24. Let us hear God's word. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the words of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. I read this to you this evening because, in a real sense, the work of Covenant College is based on the same idea as what is going on in this text. There are godly men, eloquent men who know the scriptures. In this case, we read of one man named Apollos. He'd been taught by John's disciples. He knew so much, but he didn't know the whole story. He had only heard so much as John's disciples knew, not that wonderful news that came from Christ's disciples. And so he boldly went around preaching the good news that the Messiah was coming. But he couldn't tell the whole story. And so here we read about how he boldly comes into the synagogue and is preaching. And now these two people, Aquila, Priscilla, hear him. And what did they say? We must tell this man the gospel. And so they take him aside and tell him the way of God more perfectly. They tell him the whole of God's story. And he accepts it with joy and returns and preaches with more power, because now he knows the whole gospel. And you read about how he continues on and he becomes a great help in the church. And I think as we read the New Testament, we find that Apollos is a powerful preacher of the gospel. But why was this? The means to that were that this couple sitting in the synagogue heard him, took him aside, and told him the truth. You see also here Paul, he comes into Ephesus. He finds a group of disciples. They've not heard about the Holy Spirit. Obviously, those who had come didn't know everything they needed to be teaching the disciples. And so Paul tells them the rest. They're baptized. The Spirit comes upon them. They receive the blessings of God. What is it that we see here? We see that at the beginning of the church, there was a time where people were going out and they were telling bits and pieces, but not everything that the people needed to hear. And so there was a great need for those who had heard part to hear the rest. And in a real sense, that is what is happening at Covenant College in Zambia. The men that we are training know so much. Many of them know the Bible. They know it well. Some less so, as I'll tell you in time. But what they need is men to come along and open the Word of God so that these pastors can take God's Word and tell the whole counsel of God to their people. My duty this evening is to tell you a little bit about God's work at Covenant College in Zambia. But I'd start by just reminding you where Zambia is. I think most of you would remember Northern Rhodesia. You remember that British colony. Zambia is Northern Rhodesia. When it was first released, it became independent. It was not in great shape. One of the early leaders was a devout atheist, rejected the concept of God. But the men who came after him once stood up in their national stadium, held up a Bible and said, "We will follow the God of the Bible. We will follow this book." And ever since, and I cannot remember exactly how long that's been, but ever since, Zambia has called itself a Christian nation. They're writing a constitution. They're going to declare, "We are a Christian nation." Now, whether they understand what that means and how they should do this, I would question. But it's a wonderful thing. When you hear of a country that still acknowledges that God is the Lord and says that we as a nation will declare that we are going to follow him. That for that reason, Zambia is very much open to missionaries. You know, all over the world, many of our brothers are out in difficult nations. There are people dying in these days for the cause of Christ in nations that fight against the gospel. Zambia is the opposite. Zambia embraces mission work. Sadly, they embrace anyone who will come. The current president of Zambia is a Roman Catholic. You get Mormons. You get Jehovah's Witnesses. You get every wind of doctrine within the church. It's a mix. There's confusion and trouble. But in the midst of all this, there has been a great encouragement to us in Zambia. We just had a presidential election, and it went forward peacefully. And the opposition won. And you hear in the news about all the troubles in Africa, all over the Muslim parts of the north. And yet here in a nation that claims to accept God as the Lord, they had a peaceful election. The opposition won, and there was a peaceful transition. And I think we see in that God honoring himself. Where a nation seeks to honor him, even in its confused way, He's brought a blessing there, where in so many other parts of Africa there's confusion. And I think this again shows the power of God to bring honor to himself. And it is a great encouragement for us who are there. Because as you know, if the country is politically unstable, it's hard to serve. But the Lord has sent us to a place where the leaders of the country want us to preach the gospel. And that is truly a great blessing. Now, we, as I said, are in Zambia. You have the capital in the very center of the country, Lusaka. There are more amenities there, things that we can get in the West. But that's not where we are. There's a whole industrial area in the north where they have a lot of copper. This is the backbone of the economy of the nation. We're not up there. Most of the missionaries are in those regions. But in God's providence, when we as a church first got a call to go to Zambia, it was to the eastern province, which is one of the poorest parts of Zambia. It's an area full of what are essentially crofters, small farmers, very little property. They grow maize. They have very little. It's very poor. The reason that we're there is that a little over 10 years ago, Reverend Fraser was in South Africa, and he was there when a call came from that region saying, please come help us. There are so many churches scattered around, but the pastors of these churches have no access to training. And what we need is someone to come and teach our pastors. And so in God's providence, Mr. Fraser was sent by our church to form what is now Covenant College, to train pastors. In the region where we are, as I said, it's a poor area. If you get outside of the few, there are 3-4 larger towns. These towns have cinder block buildings, metal roofs. Outside of that, it's small mud huts. The towns have a little bit of electricity. In the villages, they have none. And some of you will know how it used to be in Skye before all of the modern amenities came. It's much like that now in Zambia. Most people have no electricity. They have no running water. They have none of the things the young people here take so much for granted. And as well, they have little access to education. There is an educational system in place, but it's very poor. And most of the children have to be out working, taking care of their siblings, taking care of the house, taking care of the cattle, taking care of the fields. So most people get very little education. And that includes those who will become ministers. We have about 30 students. 4 of them finished high school. That means that almost all of our students are high school dropouts. And none of them had any theological training. And you can imagine if Mr. Keddie was your pastor and he had dropped out of school at age 12. And none of you had been able to go that far. And you couldn't read. You had no books. All that you had was a pastor who had a little bit more education than you, who could read his Bible and attempt to preach. But he had no direction, no guidance as to how to do it, except for the man who was before him, who had only had that same experience. And yet this is the situation for so many of our students. They're in churches. Small village churches in a small village. And they're seeking to the best of their ability, with the grace that God has given, to minister to their flock. They need help. And so that is why Covenant College exists. It exists to go out into an area where you have poor village pastors. They could never go to the big city. It takes money to go there. It takes education. They have neither. So we have gone to them. And that is why Covenant College is out in the middle of the poor part of Zambia, in the middle of all the fields, surrounded by villages, seeking to serve this kind of man. These men who need help. As you can imagine, this gives a great challenge to us. Here you have uneducated ministers. They've not had help from Reformed churches. What does this mean? This means that they don't know their doctrines. Most of them have read the whole Bible. Their sections, as you can imagine, they've read much in the New Testament. But large sections, they have no understanding. They don't know what the Bible means. There are many doctrines they are completely in the dark on. And this means their churches don't know. Their practice is weak. There's the old paganism mixed with Christianity. And much of our hope at Covenant College is that God will use the college to change this. This is the first thing I would come to ask you to pray for us. That the Lord would use us to bring reformation in the church. In the church in our region of Africa and all over Africa, you have every wind of doctrine. They're battered to and fro as one teacher comes and another comes. You have many very weak churches that go out and teach them all kinds of wrong doctrine. You have cults that come in and seek to lead them astray. You have Roman Catholics who come in and blend their false doctrine with the false religion of the land. And people are confused. Then you have liberalism coming in and proclaiming itself to be the church. And what Zambia needs, as well as so many places in Africa, is the Lord to bring reformation, to raise up godly ministers to change the church. We here are the heirs of a long line of faithful men. You think of the great work that God did in Scotland and all over Europe, transforming our continent by the preaching of the gospel, giving us so many blessings of understanding. That's what they need. They need the truth, and the truth to change their churches so that they will be reformed and become godly, sound in doctrine and in practice. Please pray for us that the Lord will use our feeble efforts in our small institution to change the region around us, to work in the men that we have. Now, when we have men come in, as you can imagine, it is a great challenge. Here we have, most of our men have little education. Zambia was a British colony. The national language is English. All of our students have some English, but only some. They struggle to read in English. They struggle to understand as I teach them. I have to teach them very slowly, as if I was teaching a young child. We have them for 3 years. Each year we have them for 2 12-week semesters. These men don't know how to study. Nobody's taught them to do it. They can't read very well. They have to learn by listening. This is a great challenge. They have so little to begin with. They need so much. If God is to do the work of reformation, we need the aid of the Holy Spirit. Because unless He comes to aid us, it's all in vain. These men are not stupid, but they've not been trained. They have so little time to learn. And so we ask that you would please pray that the Lord would use this tiny time in their life to transform these men by His power. This is His church. Without Him, we have no hope at all. But if He comes, He can use this tiny time, these 3 short years, the few hours that we have, to change these men so that they embrace the truth and can teach others. They need his aid as they go and preach to transform their congregations. Their congregations, if transformed, need the Spirit's aid if they're going to transform their villages and their land. Unless the Spirit moves by power, nothing will change. But if he so acts, no one will stop him. And so we continually pray that the Lord will bring reformation by sending his Spirit to use what we do to transform these godly men so that they teach the truth to their people. Their people are transformed, their churches are transformed, and the nation is transformed. This is our great goal at Covenant College, is to see the land come to be as Scotland once was, a nation that not only seeks in word to follow God, but in truth, where the people know the truth, where the nation is transformed by the truth, where the people think according to the Scriptures. The Lord used institutions such as Covenant College in Europe in the past, and institutions far greater than ours. And you think in the past of the work in Geneva, the work in the colleges in our own land. It was so often through colleges that God worked. It was men that were there. It was God's work. And likewise, if God puts his blessing on our institution, he can transform these men so that they become like John Knox, John Calvin, the great men of days gone by for Africa. And Africa will be changed. Now, as I say all that, I also want to speak to you a little of the experience that we have had in our last year in Zambia, because much has changed since the church sent us. As you know, we were called to go out in February and went out to take the position of the third lecturer at Covenant College. The first semester, I had the privilege of teaching the students on the Westminster Confession. It opened my eyes to help me understand the challenge that they face. These men could not read the confession. I had to try to explain it to them simply. A few of them could read it, but they were constantly misunderstanding it. So it was a matter of taking it and teaching it as simply as possible. But beyond that, there were doctrines that they had not thought of. You have the first chapter, they embraced it with their whole heart. But things that we take for granted, such as the Sabbath, they'd not thought of. Pure worship, they'd not thought of. But even such things of what does it mean to be justified, sanctified, the doctrines of adoption. And you go on, there are many things. These pastors did not know how to explain them, what they meant. Can you imagine again if your pastor could not understand the doctrines of the confession? What would he teach you? It opened my eyes to the great need there. Some understood more than others, but all of them had great areas that they were confused. In the second semester, I had the privilege of teaching them on church history. I was teaching them on the early church and on the Reformation. And one of the students, partway through the course, came to me and said, I did not know of all the troubles in the church, all the struggles, the strife, the confusion. I thought that after the Bible ended, the church had simply grown. Nobody had ever told him of the blood of the martyrs. Nobody had told him of the difficulties with corruption, that the Lord had brought the church through all these things. They were ignorant. And that meant that they didn't know their own place in the history of the church. These little things make it hard for them to be able to give their people a full understanding of where the church is in the world. I also had the privilege of teaching them a class on preaching. And to give you a picture of the struggles that some of these people face, one of our senior students preached a sermon for me in that class for 6 minutes. And his topic was the Ten Commandments. You think about that. You are in his congregation. You can't read. Your spiritual food and drink for the week will be 6 minutes on the Ten Commandments. The Lord uses this. He can feed his sheep. But that's only a tiny morsel. How are they going to grow in grace and in knowledge when they have so little? Later in the semester, that same man preached for 12 minutes. He had nothing to say. And yet he's a graduate now of the college. And he has a large congregation that he is feeding. This is why we have such need for the Spirit to transform these men in their time there. Because if men come in and their hearts are hardened and they are not transformed, their people will not receive the great blessing that they need. So there is that great need. That said, that was the extreme example. Some of our men struggle, but they do the best they can according to the gifts that God has given. There are a few men there who have great power in the Scriptures. Men of eloquence, like Apollos. They simply need guidance. And we're seeking to mold them. There are a few of the men there. If they had the opportunities that you and I have had, oh, the things that the Lord could use them for. And we plead that the Lord will give them those opportunities to learn more. Because Africa needs men who are well grounded in the Scriptures, who have the blessing that our ministers have, so that they can go back and lift up the church there, as our churches have been over many years. Now, in the past year, the college has also undergone some very hard things. When we were sent in February, there were two other lecturers, the Reverend Molinar from the Netherlands and the Reverend Zwemstra from South Africa. We knew when we came that the Molinars were planning to leave, and they had left the mission and have moved to Malawi, off to the east. But it came as a great surprise at the end of the last semester when the Zwemstras received a call to their own church in South Africa and left the college. He was persuaded in his own mind that he must go. And so when we return, there will not be any other lecturers at the college. And so one of the things that I would much appreciate prayer for, as you are at home, remember us. As I go back, I'm no longer the third lecturer. I go back alone. And we are seeking for other men. But the burden will be on my shoulders. And as you know, I'm a young man, new on the field. And the experienced men have now gone. And I need much help of the Lord to do the work. Thankfully, I am not all alone. We have local men to help us. But they can only do so much. We have 3 men who teach a course here and a course there, but we have to hold them by the hand. We're trying to build them up. To give you an idea, one is a Pentecostal minister, one is a Baptist minister, one is a Reformed Baptist minister. The Reformed Baptist minister is the most Reformed Zambian man that I know in the whole region. And he is growing in grace. He's embracing more of the truth. We bring him in. We tell him to teach through Burkhoff, systematic theology. He teaches that. The other men, we give them what to teach. But they can only do so much. We will have help. One of our own ministers will be going out for almost a month to teach a course. There will be 2 or 3 other men who will come out and teach a course. But they will come and they will go. And so you can see there is a great need right now for other lecturers. When you have a college, it's not the work for one man. We need more men. And if Mr. Keddy was teaching all of the courses at the college, it would be difficult. Likewise, it is not possible where we are at Covenant College to do that. The Lord seems to have raised up a Zambian man who will be coming and applying, and we are praying that the Lord would give us guidance as to whether this man would be a blessing to the college. But we are also actively seeking and pleading with the Lord that he would raise up another thoroughly reformed pastor to come out and teach at the college. We as a church are not in a position to send someone. So we are praying that from one of our sister churches, who we have a good relationship with, that the Lord will raise up a man to come over and help. Because if the Lord raises up a man of different theological persuasion, it will become a great challenge at the college. We know that he is able to work, but we are pleading that he would raise up a thoroughly reformed man. It seems to us to be very difficult, but with God all things are possible, and we ask for his aid in this matter. I also want to speak briefly to you about our students. I've said a little bit about them in passing. We have, as I said, just about 30 students last year. 7 graduated. One of those was that man who essentially cannot preach. There were 7 graduates. We have 23 left. When we return, there will be more coming in. And we pray to God that he will send the right men who will embrace the truth and go out and be a blessing to the church. I want to say briefly, to give you a picture of these men, a little about a few of them. Our student president is not a young man. He's in his 70s. He's a student at the college. He's a pastor. He's a retired school principal. But he never received any theological training. And now he travels 2 hours each direction every week, hitchhiking, to get to the college. You can imagine what a value people put on the training that they're getting. If a man in his 70s, almost at the time of retirement, still wants to come to learn, because he's never had the opportunity. The most local of our pastors is a younger man. He pastors 6 churches, small village churches. There may be 50 to 70 souls in each village. This brother, 6 churches. He failed all his classes his first year at the college. He was struggling to understand anything that he was taught. Even now, he still barely passes. And he has the charge over 6 congregations. We need the Lord's help in this man's life if he is to feed the sheep. On the other hand, there's a young man who comes from Malawi. He comes and it takes him 2 days by bus to get to the college. He comes in February. He goes home in November. He leaves his wife and children behind in order that he can learn. That young man has great gifts. He's our best student. He's diligent, always studying the scriptures. And you see the sacrifices he makes. Many of our students ride 2, 3, 4, 5 hours each direction every week on their bicycles to come to the college. They come during the week. They go home and preach in their church. Then they come back. There's one brother who rides for 10 hours each way on his bicycle every week so he can go home and preach, come and study. He's in his 50s. They place such a value on that opportunity to learn of God. And so we pray that the Lord would bless them as they seek with all their strength to devote their lives to serving him. Please be praying for these brothers, that the Lord would work in them. I would be remiss if I did not briefly mention as well that we have the college, but we work alongside the college farm. I think you will have heard of the work of Farming God's Way. In this work, the college farm seeks to try to teach these brothers better farming techniques. They need to know how to work on the land. One of the great troubles in Africa is that people do not understand what God says to work 6 days and to rest on the seventh. They don't work on the 6 days and they don't rest on the seventh. And during the year, they do not tend their fields. And you can see it in your own mind how if you have a field of corn, you plant the field 3 times in the year, they weed it. At the end of the year, it's a weed field. We seek to teach them to weed their fields, to plant at the right time of year, to labor diligently with what God has given them. And sadly, very few embrace this. We pray that the Lord would teach them from His Word to work so that they'll be an example to the community of obedience to God. And we trust, and we have seen it, when some of our students embrace the way to do it God's way, farming according to God's word, the Lord has blessed abundantly. And they are an example to those around them of God's blessing on those who seek after Him diligently. We also have a work for children. And I think you'll know that there's a lady from the Netherlands who works with preschool children, seeking to bring in Christian material and begin preschools, because one of the greatest troubles, as you can tell, is the lack of education. And there is a great need that the young children learn how to read and to write, so that the next generation will be able to read their Bibles. So many of the current can't. And we plead with the Lord that He would work in the young children, that they would learn to read. Because if you can read the Scriptures, you have access to the truth. Can you imagine if you could not read your Bible? What a challenge it would be. If you did not have a pastor who understood the Scriptures, it would be such a challenge. And so we plead with the Lord that in this rural part of Africa, where the challenges are so great, but the desire to learn is there, that He would bless His word and His work, that as the gospel is preached, that He would transform that land. We look to Him, knowing that apart from Him, we have no hope. The work is in vain unless it has His blessing upon it. You know this yourself. It's the same everywhere we go in the world. Without His help, we have no hope. But the work that we are engaged in is the work of Christ. This is His church, and we pray that He would bless His church so that His name would be honored and that He would get glory in Africa. Please pray for us, brethren.
Thank you very much indeed for a very lucid exposition of work that is undertaken in Covenant College. Do any of you have any questions you would like to ask Mr. Lachman while he's here about what he said or about anything in connection with that work? Could you tell us, I'll start, and maybe somebody would think of questions that they... Could you give us an account of how things are in the churches in Zambia? And not only, but not least in the area in which you mentioned so many villages, so many of these pastors of villages. I mean, are these situations where everybody in the village attends church? Is there a movement of the Lord in Zambia, other people being converted, is the responsiveness to the gospel around where you are and other parts. Could you give us some account of that?
I can only answer that question in part. And we have been there since February. And you can imagine, in a few short months, in a culture completely alien to yourself, it's hard to know the answer. I have been out in village churches. There are some in every village who do not attend. I vividly remember attending one church where under a tree off to the side there were men drinking. The Lord is blessing in Africa, in that part of Africa, in Zambia. There are churches everywhere, but their understanding is so small. The nation says we're Christian. They've outlawed the old pagan practices. People come to what they believe is a church, but so much of it is very, very shallow. And you know yourselves, you get over the all of Europe, you get so many churches that teach so little of the truth. I know that there are churches around that the pastors have no understanding of the gospel. They think that to follow God means to do good things, according to the Ten Commandments. You obey the law and God will bless you. But that said, there are churches everywhere. Everywhere you go. Most of the churches are Baptist churches. The American Baptists have sent many, many missionaries. Most of them were Arminians. So they teach a bit of the truth, but a lot of error. You get confusion everywhere you turn. I think the best way to put it is one of the more stark examples. You are aware of the Jehovah's Witnesses. They're very much a works religion, but they teach the old Arian heresy that Jesus is not the Christ. One of the early worst, most heinous heresies in the church. The Jehovah's Witnesses have churches all up and down the main road. I've never been to one, but it has been told to me that many of the people in their churches believe that Christ is the divine Son of God, which is a blessing. But that tells you something. The cults, with all of their errors, try to organize themselves and teach their people to only listen to them and to no one else. But where we are, they can't even get it straight. Now, if a cult is so full of the work of our adversary that is seeking to ensnare souls is failing, you think what's happening in the church? It's confusion. I don't want to overstate that. There is often a basic understanding of the gospel, but it's everything. There are no Presbyterian churches, as far as I know, in the region we are in. We pray that in time the Lord would bless, and through the work of the college, raise up ministers who can begin to plant it. But I, as a white person, cannot do that. It becomes the church of money. Because they are very poor. They see us. They see money. It's very sad. But if we can teach their own men, they can start the churches. We can try to help them and build up a church from within that is their own church, and we can seek to guide them. There's a Dutch Reformed church. Sadly, that church is embracing more and more liberal ideas. They're starting to have women elders, moving towards women pastors, embracing, bringing in all the silly Western music, keyboards, things that are completely alien to their culture. But because of these Western churches, bring their errors into Africa. Just one of the needs, there's an intense need for reformed missionaries. Not simply just letting all of the weak churches go out because they take their weaknesses with them. The strongest church that we know of is the Reformed Baptist Church. They teach the doctrines of grace faithfully. And interestingly, the local church would allow a paedobaptist, they would allow any of us to go to the Lord's Supper in their church, because they understand that maybe we could be right, but they're not persuaded. Their church does not practice psalmody. One of the saddest things to me is that very few of the psalms are in their local language. I said English is the national language. There's 72 local languages. Most of the people speak their own languages. English unites them. But they need the psalms in their own language, because so many of the people cannot sing in English. And you'll know yourselves, in days gone by, how many people would speak only Gaelic and not English. If you had to sing in English, you'd be singing in another person's language. And that's where many of them are. And one of my great goals is to see the psalms translated into the local language so that they can sing them, because the church is weakened without them. Much of what they sing is silly things coming out of American Baptist churches that do nothing to help the church. So the church in many ways is very, very weak. But God still has a people there. And you see believers who are hungering and thirsting to know. But they need people to come and help them. Because though the Lord works directly through His Word, so often it's through the officers of the church that He's instituted.
Thank you. Thank you. That's good, though. It's illuminating. Any questions that you may have for Mr. Raffel? He's given us much to think about. Yes, David.
Yes, when I go into a village church, I have to preach with a translator. As you'll know, that's a challenge. You can say much less. You also have to preach at a very basic level. So it's a great challenge. It's very different from preaching here. And also with the teaching, I will preach to the students as much as I can. Because anything that we can give them by way of example to try to help their preaching will be a great help. And you can imagine they've had little positive example. So I try, and in the coming semester I'll be preaching to the students once a week and every other Lord's Day in a village church. Lord willing.
Thank you. And let us close with prayer. Our gracious and loving Father in heaven, pour Thy Spirit upon us here. Pour Thy Spirit upon Thy church in Zambia. Grant that we may see here and there the mighty works of God, and indeed in every nation under the earth. Thou art able, Lord, and we pray that Thou wouldst move in Thy power, that Thou wouldst grant to lay bare Thy holy arm, and that, Lord, the Spirit would come in great power in every land. And Lord our God, we pray for encouragement. Encouragement in our own congregation here, in our own island, in our own country. Encouragement, Lord, in the work in Covenant College. We pray for the Lachmans, and we pray for others who are concerned with that work in the training of native pastors, that, Lord, they may be strengthened in the faith, and that the preaching would be in power and demonstration of the Spirit and with much assurance. And Lord, the instruction given would be according to Thy holy and infallible word. Gracious Lord, come, we pray, and draw near to us in Thy power. And grant, Lord, that we may see yet times of revival and restoration and recovery and reformation. And so may Thy grace, mercy, and peace from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon us and remain with us, now and forevermore. Amen.